a nationally known American businessman. I'm not going to tell you who he is because you're going to think I really like this guy. But he has a policy of firing employees who are unfaithful to their wives. He tells them, if your wife can't trust you, how can I? Now, while being very politically incorrect, he is right. He is right. Life consists of being in trust relationships with other human beings, and the foundational relationship for life is marriage. If there is a breakdown on this level, it is sure to have a ripple effect throughout other social relationships. Open your Bibles to the book of Exodus, the 20th chapter. Exodus 20. Exodus 20, 14. The seventh commandment today, thou shalt not commit adultery. Men, I do not pursue other women sexually. And I'm sure you don't either. But men, I stand before you this morning here as an adulterer among adulterers. And I say that because adultery is not specifically about sex. It is about keeping a promise. One thing good about getting ready for Friday mornings is you learn something. Here is a marriage vow that I made 25 years ago. I didn't really know what I was doing at the time, so it was good this week to kind of review the whole deal. I said 25 years ago, I won't tell you my mental state at the time, you'd think bad things about me, but I said, I, Chris, take thee, Suzanne, to be my wedded wife, to have and to hold from this day forward, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish, till death do us part according to God's holy ordinance, and thereto I pledge thee my, what's the word? Troth. Troth. What a word. What a word. My wife and I found a book in her library this week. I pledge thee my troth. I pledge you my troth. This is one of these words that has been dropped out of our vocabulary. It's an old English term, and it means all of the following: truth, faithfulness, loyalty, and honesty. And you could go on, and it puts it all in one package called troth. Troth, keeping the promise, the marriage vow, makes a man and woman what the Bible calls one flesh. It is so important, men, this morning, to understand Jesus' words in this area. Go with me quickly over to the New Testament, to Matthew 19. Matthew 19. This is so important to understand this principle here this morning. Jesus in Matthew 19, and in the context is he's getting nitpicked by the religious guys. The Bible is not about religion. It is about life. I don't know how the Bible became a religious book. It is not about religion. It is about life. And that's what Jesus is all about. He was about life. And he runs into the religious guys, and they're nitpicking him. And he just says to them simply in Matthew 19, verses 4 and 5, haven't you read? He says to these guys. These guys have spent their whole lives reading. Haven't you read? He replied, that at the beginning, There's a lot of theology in this these two verses. At the beginning, the Creator made them male and female, and said, we got theology, now we got some bibliology here. And said, the Creator said, and Jesus is saying, God said, and he's quoting Genesis 2. There's a lot of men here this morning that may be a little tentative about the Bible. You could spend a week on these two verses. And God said, and he said, quoting Genesis 2, God said it. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. Troth. Powerful. Powerful. Any mitigation of this oneness, any mitigation, anything that gets in the way of the oneness of one flesh is adultery. Anything that gets in the way or mitigates the one flesh, which is what God is all about in terms of our relationships on this planet, all starting in the marriage, is adultery. And I stand before you men as an adulterer among adulterers. So how do you keep the seventh commandment? Keeping the promise and not committing adultery. How do you do it? Well, listen up. It's a matter of keeping at least five balls in the air, and if you can do it, you're a better man than I am. The first ball you have to keep in the air, we call love and cherish. And how do you do that? You do it through sacrifice. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. It takes sacrifice to give yourself, to share yourself, and the key issue is emotional transparency. You can't do it without sacrifice. Suzanne, I am not sure I know what to do about this situation. You know how hard that is for me? How about you? I'd much rather come home and hide my feelings from her. I've been married 25 years and I haven't learned yet. Suzanne, I'm scared. I'm confused. I have to sacrifice the natural tendency to hide my feelings. Bottom line. Second ball you got to keep in the air is sexual fidelity. How faithful do you have to be sexually? What's the standard? I'll give you three quotes. First of all, we'll go back as old as we can to Job. He said, I have made a covenant with my eye that I will not look on the maiden. The second look is adultery. That's how stiff it is. I'll quote Paul in the New Testament. He says, but among you, there should not even be a hint of sexual immorality. Not even a hint. Not even a gesture. Not a look. Not a coarse joke. Not even a hint. And Jesus, of course, tells us, I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. The third ball is economic. We have the primary responsibility for economic provision. Women have a built-in need for financial security, but men, don't make the fatal error. If you are struggling financially, make sure you are communicating. If you withhold information or your feelings, you are violating an even higher need, according to Dr. Harley, who we had come here a few years ago for a dinner. We had 230 people for dinner down at the hotel, and he talked about the basic needs of men and women. I've got a card for you today. I'll leave it out there just to remind you. Women have a need for financial security, but a higher need is for you to communicate. They need communication, and they need honesty and openness. Don't make the fatal error, if you're up against the wall, of hiding information or your feelings. It's lethal. Fourth ball, training the children. Got to keep these all in the air. Okay, that's what it's all about. The feminist movement has been a reaction in part to men focusing almost totally on material provision and being emotional zeros. We need to focus emotionally on children. And also, men, there's no such thing as quality time. There's no such thing as quality time. Time is measured how? Seconds, minutes, hours, days, weeks, months, and years. There's no such thing as quality time. We have to be there. Our presence is baseline. If we're not there, we're going to suffer the consequences. Emotional involvement, yes, but that builds on your presence. You got to be there. I'm meeting more and more families today. I had dinner the other night with a Christian family. They tell me they never even have a meal together. They are allowing the rat race to suck them in, and you can see the relationships are breaking down. Can you handle another ball? One more. Fifth ball is to protect your wife. Not only do we sympathize with her problems, but we determine to actually do something about them. We need to get involved when our wives are troubled, brokenhearted, or unhappy. Men, troth. Keeping the promise is about keeping those five balls in the air. Adultery is dropping the balls. Paul says, if you can avoid marriage, do it, because let me tell you, those who marry will face many troubles in this life. Have you experienced that? Huh? It'll take everything you've got to pull it off. But, as we conclude, does this command challenge you, men? Does it challenge you? Does it make you realize how far short you fall? Does it? Good. That's what it's supposed to do. It's supposed to. The Ten Commandments are supposed to set the standard, which is almost impossible. It is impossible without God. And it is supposed to drive you, again, as we mentioned last week with the Sixth Commandment, to drive you into the grace of God. You can't get there from here without Jesus Christ. Without Him, he says, you can do nothing. The bottom line, focus on your wife's needs. I've got a little card for you. I'll put it out near the door. His needs, her needs. Her needs are affection, conversation, honesty and openness, financial support, and family commitment. And your needs are on the left-hand side, and you're not supposed to put this on her night table. You're supposed to take her out and buy her some lunch and just tell her how much you love her. And call my office. And I looked in the, the wedding vow? That's really a very beautiful thing. If you want a copy of that, I'll fax it to you. Okay, men, good to have Charlie back. It's good to be here this morning. We got in a little late, but we have such a good team that we all recovered very well. Let's have a prayer together and go to our tables. Welcome to the new men. Father, we thank you for the Ten Commandments. Thank you for giving us to us to remind us minute by minute that we need you. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for dying on the cross for our sins. Thank you for your resurrection from the dead, and that same power that raised Jesus from the dead is now available to us to help us to love our wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Thank you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Have a good time at your tables this morning.